Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. This past week, I asked two different ministry groups, one Tuesday night, one Wednesday night, where a certain phrase came from in a real classic movie. So where did this phrase come from? You can't handle the truth. So I asked the question, and there was a lot of, And finally, someone said in each group, A Few Good Men, starring Tom Cruise and Jack Nicholson. That phrase was uttered toward the end of the movie. And I think that phrase, you can't handle the truth, seems to be the real message of the exchange between Jesus and Pilate. Who really was on trial, Jesus or Pilate? In the movie, A Few Good Men, two Marines are on trial having been accused of murdering a colleague. Lieutenant Daniel Caffey, played by Tom Cruise, a Navy lawyer who has never seen the inside of a courtroom, is assigned to defend the two Marines charged with the death of a fellow Marine. But Lieutenant Caffey is known as being lazy and has arranged for a plea bargain. Caffey, along with two others, comprise the defense team, and they dig into the case. The character of Caffey begins to recognize that there is more involved than what was originally assumed, and he begins to embrace a search for the truth. The defense is originally based upon the fact that Private First Class Santiago, the victim, was given a code red. Now, Santiago was basically a screw-up, and at Guantanamo Base, screw-ups aren't tolerated, especially by Colonel Nathan Jessup, played by Jack Nicholson. In the conclusion of the film, the fireworks are set off by a confrontation between Jessup and Caffey in the courtroom. Caffey points out that if Jessup's orders are always obeyed, then there was no reason to transfer Santiago at all. Momentarily stunned, Jessup tries to come up with alternative explanations for Santiago's transfer, which are counterattacked by Caffey, who demands to be told the truth, at which point Jessup explodes, "You can't handle the truth." Because he defends his country, Colonel Jessup does not see why Caffey, who has never been on the front line, should even question his methods. Caffey, in fact, should either thank him for protecting his country and his way of life, or take up a gun and do it himself. But as the two men shout out their points at each other, Caffey finally gets angry, and an angry Jessup admits to the truth, that he did in fact order the code red. The drama in that courtroom scene in that movie, I feel, was completely absorbing. And in the courtroom scene between Jesus and Pilate, Jesus does not back down when questioned by Pilate, and instead says, "For this was I born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Now, in actuality, Pilate really wanted nothing to do with this Jesus, but he was caught in the politics of his day. In the region he governed, he needed to check out why the Jewish leaders were pressing charges against this Jesus. This accusation that Jesus was a king challenged the peace that Pilate was charged to maintain. And in his courtroom, he needed to investigate. But Jesus responds to Pilate's questions by asking questions of Pilate. Jesus then explains that the kingdom to which he belongs is not a political reality, but a theological one, not earthly bound. Ultimately, Jesus and his followers belong to the truth. We learn more about truth in other parts of John's gospel. In chapter 1, the Word became flesh and lived among us, full of grace and truth. In chapter 8, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And the one-liner in chapter 14, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And in today's gospel, we hear he came to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. That actually restates the theme from chapter 10 of the shepherd and the sheep who listen to the shepherd's voice. Because the shepherd has the words of truth and life. And those who listen to Jesus are his disciples. In a verse not included, actually the next sentence after today's gospel, Pilate asks, "What is truth?" But the question is left hanging in the air because Pilate leaves his courtroom and says to the Jewish leaders, "I find no case against him." Now, when Colonel Jessup argues with Lieutenant Caffey and says, "You can't handle the truth," Jessup was speaking, I believe, from a place within himself that was his own construct, a world he created to justify his style of leadership. When Caffey finally gets an angry Jessup to admit that he did order the code red, then Jessup was arrested. But why was Jesus arrested? What had he done? In John's gospel, Jesus has enabled people to face the truth about themselves, their relationships, their faith, and the world in which they live. Jesus did not shout an angry response at Pilate. Instead, he stood in the freedom of the truth of his life. Pilate had the possibility of recognizing the truth because the truth was standing right in front of him. But Pilate, like many others, was not interested in the truth. We see that in our world today. It is dangerous that so many have created their own version of the truth. Terrorists really believe that what they are doing is carrying out a religious truth. The truth of Jesus is actually at the heart of our mission statement at St. Francis. "I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly." This scene in the gospel with Pilate is Jesus' last encounter with any human being before his death. And he makes an offer to Pilate. "Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Even to Pilate, Jesus offers to be a good shepherding king, who, when his sheep listen to his voice, are led into an abundant life, an inner life of peace that this world can never give. This is always Jesus' offer to us. But to receive it means facing the truth about our lives, the truth Jesus holds up before us, being authentic about how it is with us, and being willing to be led by Jesus into a graced life, not bound by the fear-based standards of our world, but the standard of love, the kingdom of God. The reign of God is larger than any individual or group, even Jesus himself. We are here today because of what Jesus has done, what Jesus has put into motion. We are part of the Jesus movement. That phrase, the Jesus movement, is a favorite phrase of our new presiding bishop, Michael J. Curry. The kingdom of God is present. The Jesus movement is working. Whenever we experience that family is bigger than what we think of as family, God embraces the entire world. That is the vision of the kingdom. That is the new truth to which all of us belong. That is why the news of terrorist attacks can and should affect us. For when one suffers, we all suffer. When one rejoices, we all can rejoice. Family is bigger than family in the kingdom of God. That is why the word refugee takes on new meaning, for we hear it in the Gospel of Matthew. I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. In today's gospel, everyone, not some, but everyone who belongs to the truth listens to his voice. This is the last Sunday of a church year. We call it Christ the King Sunday. Jesus the King of a kingdom not of this world's ways, but Jesus the way, the truth, and the life. The life of God in our midst. We literally have much to digest on Thanksgiving Day. May some of the things you chew on be these two questions. Why were you born? What motivates you? Take time to pray about it. May your answer someday come to reflect the words of Jesus, come from a place of deep knowing within you, so you can say, for this was I born, for this I came into the world to testify to the truth. And if someone says to you, you can't handle the truth, you can say back, oh, yes, I can. I believe in the truth of who I am in God. I belong to the truth of Jesus Christ within me, and I listen to his voice. Amen.